The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I can do a little bit of a guttural yell. My throat is a little bit cashed. Hang on. Yeah! That's about all I got. Not too bad. Not bad. Great to be here with you this Monday morning. It's a victory. Victory Monday. Took the series from the Kansas City Royals. Very hard-fought series. Pretty good baseball we got to watch this weekend out at Petco Park. Great to be here. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, my friend. And to my left is Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor and sportscaster. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. I'm very glad to be here. I'm very glad that you are here as well.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too, man.
I was shocked yesterday when I got a text and found out that my good friend and colleague, Stephen Woods, was in the hospital.
Indeed.
But you're okay now.
I am okay.
You look fine.
Do I?
Yeah.
Do I look okay?
You do. You really do.
The color is back. Man.
Thought we were going to lose you for a second.
It was not ideal. It wasn't an ideal weekend in my home. It was actually, it was fine.
I also saw you at Petco Park with the family.
Yep.
Looking like you were having a good time. So I thought everything was, oh, he's good. We knew he'd had some, issues last week. But I figured, hey, he's getting better. He's on the road to recovery. And by the time Monday rolls around, Woodsy's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I see a picture of you in a hospital gown. And I go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is not good.
I'm still trying to reconcile if I did the right thing or not. And I think I did. And I'll let the tier ones weigh in on this. But this is an interesting one. And I think, we need to talk about the war. The war that's going on inside my body.
Oh, not the other one.
Right.
Okay.
The one that's going on inside my body. And it's been about a week now. A week ago today, you'll remember, I went to get my yearly physical. And it was the first physical I'd looked forward to in a while because I have made some really positive changes in my life and started exercising way more frequently, started watching my diet way more, got my cholesterol levels down, everything that I needed to do. Went to the doctor a week ago today. She said, very proud of you. Great job. And I said, thank you. And then the next day is when things started going haywire in my body, in my gut. And it's been a long, long week. Now, it's weird because it's not the flu. The flu, you just have it. The flu doesn't come in waves, right? When you have the flu, you have the flu until you don't have the flu,
right?
Like, I feel like crap, I'm going to fight through this, and I don't, like, then now I'm out of it. This was weird. I'd wake up, feel fine, have a little bit of breakfast, have some coffee, whatever. And then by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my stomach would start waging war on itself. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. So Saturday was one of those days where I woke up, felt fine, spent the day with the kids. Hannah had to work, so played baseball, took the kids to Jersey Mike's. The normal, couldn't eat a lot at all. She came home. We went out to Petco Park. Was feeling queasy. As soon as I walked in the door, not queasy enough to not have some banana pudding. So I had some of that. And then after that, I was not feeling well. I'm never going to blame the banana pudding, though. I had some corn chips and a Sprite is all I could get down at the game. And by the time we left in like the 7th and got home, I spent on Saturday from about, call it 6 o'clock till 11:30, going to the bathroom every 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And laying there going, this is untenable. I don't know what to do. Like, it was 10 minutes, come back, 10 minutes, come back, 10 minutes.
Both ends or?
One.
Just one end?
Yeah. And was texting with some friends. and they said to me, they said, if it looks like coffee grounds, not to be too graphic, if it looks like coffee grounds, go to the ER right away. And I said, you're crazy. I said, I'm not going to the ER. Not for this. And look, it looked just like coffee grounds. It looked like Folger's crystals. And I went, oh, okay. And I said, so I started Googling that. And said, yeah, you those are symptoms and signs of internal bleeding. And I thought to myself, internal bleeding. I get pretty worked up guy. Is it possible I have a bleeding ulcer inside me? And I thought, well, my stomach doesn't hurt. It is tender. Ooh, that's tender. That's tender. That's kind of tender. It's just kind of tight and tender. And I said, all right. So I'm laying there, just kind of panicked, right? Thinking, all right, obviously thinking the worst. I'm going to take the lights down for this one, actually.
You need some music?
Yeah, give me a little music. Give me a little mood music here, Paulie. So it's about 11:30 at night. My wife's asleep, and I say to her, I wake her up. I said, babe, I'm going to go check in to Scripps. She goes, really? I go, yeah. I said, I don't think I'll... I know I won't sleep because I can't keep going back and forth. And I don't want to fall asleep. And something happened.
While you're sleeping?
While I'm sleeping. Ugh. So I said, man, I don't want to do this. But I did it. So I go down to Scripps at 11:30 on Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Usually one of the busier nights you're going to have at the ER.
So I walk in. There's about 10 people in there. It's not too bad. Get checked in. Wait for a minute. Come back. Take my blood pressure. It's good. Bring me back to a bed. And they said, we're gonna admit you here based on your symptoms. I said, okay.
What time are we talking again? Saturday night?
So now it's about midnight.
Midnight.
So I take my shirt off. They had to put some sticky pads on my chest. And
monitor your vital signs.
Yep, monitor the vitals. So I get all set up in the bed, get a blanket, kind of cozy, actually. Quiet. My nurse, Mia, walks in.
Mia,
yep.
Was she?
Yep. Yep, she was. So what are you here for? And I.
Yes, she was. You mean a medical professional?
Yep.
Right.
Just attractive.
No, I meant was she hot?
She was very attractive.
Actually, is what I meant.
It's irrelevant.
And Mia is there with her chart and asking me, why are you here? Oh, let me tell you, Mia, about my my violent diarrhea, Mia. And yes, it has the consistency of coffee grounds, which is why I'm here. And so Mia's nodding.
Obviously, Mia's heard all these stories. But no one ever comes to the hospital. You know, why are you here?
Diarrhea.
I'm just too virile.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
I'm too virile.
No one ever has.
Yeah. Thought I'd check myself in.
No one ever has a really...
No, it's never a cool story.
Cool, masculine reason for coming to the hospital.
I ripped my bicep when I was curling 400 pounds. So, I was saving these puppies from a fire, and I got burned. That's why I'm here. So, I'm in there, and I'm mortified. I'm beyond...
Oh, my God.
I am beyond mortified. And she's there, and she's nodding in her glasses and looking at me, and I'm telling her about my just constant diarrhea. Constant. She's okay. I'm going to get a little blood from you. Sets the IV. I'm going to give you some Zofran for the nausea. I'm going to give you some Toradol, too, for the pain. And I go, oh, yes. I go, I may see you next Saturday night. This is maybe where I'll just come. So she lets the Toradol get through there and the Zofran, and I'm laying there pretty cozy. I'm watching the movie Primal Fear on my phone. No, Mr. Vale. No, Mr. Vale. No, Mr. Vale. So I'm waiting for the doctor. Then the doctor comes in. It's one of the sharpest guys I've ever seen. And he says, so, what's going on? I tell him again about the violent diarrhea. He says, "Nah, you made the right decision." He said, let me take a look at your blood work." And he goes, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to have to come back in here with a nurse, and we're going to have to do a rectal exam."
Oh my God!
And I said, "Oh, okay, no problem." And he left for a while. Then he came back, and he walked over to the counter, and he pulled the rubber glove.
Oh my gosh!
Off the thing, and I think he had something in his hand, some sort of shiv or something. I don't know. It was in his hand. I don't know what it was. And Mia's on the other side of me, and he goes, "If you could just turn over on one side, pull your pants and underwear down to your knees, I can go ahead and do this rectal exam for you." And I said, "Okay." And I'm on my side.
How do you want me, Doc?
And I'm on my side. So you're the doctor behind me.
Oh my God.
Paulie's Mia, looking me dead in the eye as I'm on my side. And all of a sudden, "Okay, you're going to feel a little pressure here," which was the understatement of the year. And I'm just like, it's just one of those. And I go, "Oh." He goes, "Okay, that's it." And I said, "Okay, that's over?" He said, "Yeah, it's over. You can pull your pants up now." So
I don't know why I'm laughing, but
so I roll back and shimmy my pants up on my back, and I'm hands on my chest, staring up into the ceiling going, "What happened? How did I get here?"
Where did the conversation go with Mia at this point?
Didn't talk much after that.
No.
So I wanted to give him the Fletch line, you know. Using the whole fist, Doc. You ever serve time? But I didn't. I controlled myself. And I,
fist her? Yeah, absolutely.
Holly.
So.
Wait, what was that noise you made again?
I then just laid there and stared at the ceiling. I started to doze off. The Toradol really took over. Next thing you know, the doctor's standing over me. And he says, "Hey, just got your blood work back. It's pristine. It's absolutely pristine." And I said, "Oh, well, that's good news." He goes, "Your hemoglobin number, which is the one you really want to check, is 16. He said, "It's perfect. You are perfect." I said, "So I'm good." He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "So did I come to the ER for diarrhea?" And he started laughing and he goes, "Yes." He goes, "Yes.
Easy way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah." He said, "Yeah, you did." He goes, "But I would say better safe than sorry." And I go, "Okay." I said, "So what is it?" And he goes, "I have no idea." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Well, we're going to let you go, you know, soon. Just gonna get you discharged and all that." And I said, "Okay." And soon enough, Mia came back in, ripped all the things off me, and avoided eye contact. And I avoided eye contact with her. And they let me go at about 1:30 in the morning. So I was there a couple hours. Got home, crawled into bed, felt pretty good. Woke up yesterday mostly just groggy from... I was thinking when I was driving to the ER at 11:30, I go, I haven't been on the streets at 11:30 in a decade.
Yeah.
Like this, I was driving going, is everyone drunk right now? Everyone's drunk right now. Be very careful. Be very alert. It was 11:30 at night. And then at 1:30 in the morning, I was terrified to drive. I turned into my parents. I was like, this is too brazen to be out on the streets this late. So got home. I mean, I guess, you know, that is good news. But I really calmed my diet down yesterday. And again, I think the bummer is I'm sitting there going, I'm not eating Indian food and Mexican food and spicy Chinese food every day. Like, it's rare that I eat anything with any kick at all. I eat some chicken breast. I eat some lean protein, some turkey, a little bit of pasta, fruits, veggies. Like, I don't understand what's gone haywire in my stomach. Do I have some sort of, like, viral infection? Why aren't my kids getting sick? Why aren't you guys getting sick? They don't know. But they eliminated the thing that I was worried about.
Seems like some sort of tropical disease
yeah.
for your gut that you've inherited somehow.
And so I thought, man, yeah, like a parasite maybe. I don't know what it is.
But maybe that would have come up in your blood work.
They said the blood work was pristine. Yeah. Pristine. So I think, you know, the message is better safe than sorry, right? And, you know, I got two little boys. I thought the last thing, you know, obviously I want it to happen is me dying in my sleep because of some bleeding ulcer that I have. And you know, I'll get pretty worked up. But, man, I was a little bit embarrassed. Is it weird to want them to say, oh, yeah, you made the right decision coming in here today? I wanted some sort of diagnosis to know, oh, this explains it. Now I'm just the hypochondriac with diarrhea that goes to the ER when things get tough.
I think, Taylor, check it out. Daddy wears a diaper, too.
Yeah,
I understand.
I didn't tell you that part.
Oh, no, what?
Wait, there's a part?
That at one point before, I didn't want to go to the ER. I didn't want to go. I wanted to do everything in my power to not go. And I thought to myself, could I fit in one of my kids' diapers just for the night? So I went and tried, and turns out I'm much bigger
you
than
tried.
I tried. That's a true story on their souls. That is a true story.
Would you get a leg in?
I went in to Taylor's room. He was dead asleep.
Rolling it up
on calves.
One on each leg doesn't really work.
Yep, and I grabbed and I went like this. I pulled it up. I got it over my knees, and it split. And I went, all right, I guess I'll go to the ER. That was a true story. I forgot about that.
Oh my God.
Every day my diaper sucks.
Mm.
So,
holy crap.
I think the alternative of, yes, something seriously is wrong with you is probably worse than the validation that you came in.
Well, and I laid there and I thought, man, this is one of those. I wonder if you just tough it out. But to know now that, hey, man, you're good. Like, everything's good. This is just a fleeting thing. It was a load off. My kids were so sweet yesterday. Once they found out I actually went to the hospital, they were like, shh, let's be quiet. Dad needs some rest. So they were really great. I got to rest and watch the game and stuff. And they played blocks and played with their baseball cards. They were just really good. My wife too. Like, so they let me kind of recover, but man, it is like, it's just kind of a bummer to not know exactly what you have. And I'm like, look, if it's Crohn's disease, let me know so I can deal with it. If it's IBS, let me know so I can start the – I don't want to live the rest of my life going, I would love to go to Philly with you guys, but I need to bring adult diapers with me. That's the funny thing is I was sitting there thinking about it. And I was in the hospital bed. I go, I'm going on this trip. But what a bummer to fly across the country to be looking. Ben's got all these great restaurants planned. And for me to go sit at a restaurant and be like, could I get, I'll just do like a piece of sourdough bread, no butter, and water. And do you have applesauce? You don't because you're a restaurant?
Water.
I'll have some water and a piece of sourdough bread. Paulie's cheesesteak hanging from his lips. Ben's sucking down a big ribeye. And I'm over there eating sourdough bread and ice water.
Okay.
No booze, no nothing. Can't do anything.
So you're doing better now.
So I feel
this was like Saturday night. You're doing better now.
So yesterday was real free all day. Fantastic. Really calmed the diet down. There's a diet called the BRAT diet.
And bananas, it is rice,
bananas,
applesauce,
rice,
toast.
Applesauce, toast. So today I brought a banana and I have some applesauce in the fridge.
I prefer the BRAT diet. It's nothing but brats.
Just now, bratwursts.
My question
breakfast,
is...
breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
We have a 5.5-hour flight coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Had that flight been this past weekend on, like, Saturday...
Had it been Saturday?
How many times in a 5.5-hour flight are you getting up?
40? 40.
The lavatory
so
would not
every
have been
10,
able to handle
every,
you.
Every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes for from 6 to 11.
Oh, my God.
So that's
five
about
hours?
The length of
yeah.
that flight. Every 10 minutes. So that's six times an hour. That's 30 times.
Sir, the seatbelt sign is on. You have to go back to your seat.
You don't want that. You're going to have to get a new seat if you don't let me get up. So I just, man, but yeah.
I think, an emergency landing in Omaha or something.
clear the plane. Bro, so I'm okay. I'm here. I'm a little, I've been kind of queasy and weak, very weak. My trainer thinks I'm trying to bail from, it's not that, man. It's not that.
It could have been something serious. Heather in our chat says, always better safe than sorry, Woods. 2 weeks ago, I couldn't keep food down, went to the ER. Now short of minor organ, gallbladder. My wife had that when she was pregnant, like 6 or 7 months pregnant. They had to take out her gallbladder, and she was also doing the same thing. We thought morning sickness, like late in pregnancy.
Right.
But yeah, she couldn't keep food down, and it was really, really bad. So I'm glad that the test came out okay. I will say that you may feel the relief of going to the ER, but if you thought the exam was intrusive, wait until you get the bill.
Yeah, now. Listen. I mean, what's your health worth to you?
Yeah.
You know?
Pister? Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yep. That was the first time that has happened from a doctor, to my knowledge. I don't remember ever getting that before. Maybe once. Maybe a long time ago. It was... the pressure is an understatement. Pressure... is an understatement. That was more than pressure. It was uncomfortable, but necessary. So thanks for being there for me.
Well, that was some addition of foreplay for you.
literally.
Let's check traffic. I'll quickly run through what we've got coming up on the program on a Monday. Should be a good show. Stay tuned. Kelly's got traffic, and then we'll set the table for you on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
OMG, Jose Iglesias comes in three innings does a little bit of everything to help the Padres win a series over the Kansas City Royals. We will wrap it up and talk about the entire weekend and really an important series win. I think we all agree for the San Diego Padres at home. Got the Washington Nationals now coming into town as they wrap up the stretch of 26 games in 27 games. We'll look at all of that coming up with our guests, which means Craig Elston on a Monday from Padres Hot Tub will be with us at 7:35. Of course, our friend and former colleague. And then Dennis Lynn from The Athletic will join us at 8:35. Our Lynn Sider with everything going on. There were some moves the Padres made over the weekend, and that trade deadline's getting closer now. We're just over a month away. Something's got to give at some point for your San Diego Padres, just waiting on teams to make their players available at this point. And everyone's still in it. I mean, you look at the standings, and like there are still only about four or five teams that are out of it. Everybody else is in it. Nobody's willing to deal at this point. And A.J. Preller remains patient as his team tries to kind of hold on.
I don't even know that he's remaining patient. I believe, based on things that I heard over the weekend, that he's impatient about it. To be honest, I think he's getting impatient, and I think he knows.
Seems like an impatient sort of GM. He always acts quicker than almost everybody else.
Yeah, I think, honestly, there's just nothing out there. But I think I could say confidently today, based on the amount of information that I got over the weekend, Ben, he's ready to deal. But it takes two. You have to have another party, and it has to match up. But the rumor mills are churning right now, and I do get the sense, guys, something is going to happen. And I can't say that it's going to be soon, but I think if he had his druthers, it would be.
All right, we'll go through what happened over the weekend, starting with Sunday's game, our wrap-up, and all the moves the Padres made. Do not go anywhere. Ben and Woods underway. Brand new week. It is Monday morning, Tier 1s. Glad to have you with us here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Well, Woods was out late night for another reason on Saturday, but a more fun reason to go out late at night is 7 Mile Casino. Open 24/7. So, 1 a.m., 6 a.m., whenever you've got a hankering for California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em poker, Pai Gow, or Baccarat, they are open. Your 24/7 option down in Chula Vista.
Yeah, man, I could have gone, right? They discharged me if I wanted to. Problem is, I don't think I'm ready to eat yet the delicious Kung Pao chicken. And I've been craving things like that, because I'm eating I'm eating toast and applesauce and bananas. I want the good food at Seven Mile Casino, but you can certainly go play some California-style blackjack in a smoke-free environment. No slot machines either. It's got everything you're looking for. Best part, just 7 minutes from Petco Park.
If you're a high-limit player, they will take good care of you at Seven Mile Casino. They usually have a really good action spread at all their tables with good dealers, comfortable seats, TVs throughout the place, windows. It's light. It's airy. It's comfortable. It doesn't make you feel like you're going to a dingy, dark card room, and you don't have to drive all the way out to the East County, navigate a parking lot and a giant casino filled with slot machines to get there. Check it out today. It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Padres made a couple of roster moves over the weekend. Good ones, I would think, at least in terms of the direction of the club. The most important yesterday when they activated Jackson Merrill off the 7-day concussion list.
And I'd say that's a really good
one. Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Not only did he return, Brandon Lockridge was sent to AAA El Paso. Always going to be at the ready. I doubt we've seen our last of Brandon Lockridge.
I'd say having a Bryce Johnson is just as good as having, if not better, a Brandon Lockridge, also a switch hitter, probably a better overall player. Maybe you don't need two. Really, you don't need three if you have Tyler Wade as well. You don't need three of those guys.
Correct. So I think the biggest development, though, is Jackson Merrill looked fantastic. As Jackson Merrilly as he has in a long time upon his return, batting in a new spot in the lineup as well with Mike Shildt after pretty much doggedly staying with his order. Other than injuries when he had to, make some changes or, giving a different guy a DH day, moved Luis Arraez down to fourth and Jackson Merrill up to second in his lineup yesterday. And while it didn't pay dividends in the first seven innings, Jackson Merrill certainly looked comfortable in his at-bats in the two-hole between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado.
He looked certainly comfortable in that spot, and he certainly looked comfortable back in center field. Don't win that game without him. I know that he got robbed on a brilliant play from Caglione. Oh, there he is. There he is. Brilliant play, but the play he made to cut that ball off when the Padres were positioned so shallow against the nine-hole hitter, I believe, and hit the cutoff man perfectly, get the runner at home. Jackson Merrill back. Good to have him back.
Meanwhile, on Saturday, the Padres activated relief pitcher Brian Hoeing off the 60-day injured list, which required two corresponding moves. One, to create a 40-man roster spot, which meant Jason Hayward's time with the San Diego Padres came to an end. He was rehabbing in El Paso and was designated for assignment. Didn't do much.
It wasn't going
hitting
well
down in El Paso. In fact, the final 2 days, he didn't even play. And Mike Shildt, like moments before they announced it, he was asked what's going on with, is he a setback? And he goes, no, not really a setback so much as working on some things. And then they made the announcement official a short while later that Jason Hayward's time has come to an end with the Padres. A guy that was really appreciated in the Padres clubhouse. I think it was I was really excited for the chance when we got to talk to him at spring training and meet him.
One of the best.
But unfortunately, Father Time catches up with everybody, and he's just not the player that he was. Did some good things defensively early in the season, but just never got the bat going offensively for the San Diego Padres in a way that made it sustainable to keep him on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy you want around your organization, as long as he doesn't have to play in your organization, but you want him around your organization. I would love if they kept him on in some role as a special assistant.
Outfielding coordinator.
Whatever, man. Absolutely. Could all those guys in the outfield learn a thing or two from Jason Hayward? Absolutely. Could young guys coming up learn how to be a professional from Jason Hayward? Absolutely. Did all the right things, said all the right things. Father Time comes for everyone. It came for Jason Hayward. I wish him nothing but the best. One of the best, most fun interviews we've ever done. A true gentleman, man. Nothing but good things to say about Jay Hay.
And Brian Hoeing taking the spot of Sean Reynolds on the 26-man roster, which that is actually a really good sign for the Padres, that they can take a guy like Sean Reynolds,
yep,
who has been effective mostly out of the pen, has pitched some big innings, has kept the Padres in some games. I know his velocity is a tick down from where it was the year before, but he's now another depth option that they can bring up, and I doubt we've seen the last of Sean Reynolds this season as well, but he goes down to El Paso, not because he was you know, bad by any stretch of the imagination, but it was time to bring Brian Hoeing back. Brian Hoeing did not, he did not get into either of the games this weekend.
Nope.
He was up yesterday warming up in the bullpen. I think if the Padres had stayed behind 2-0, he would have gotten some action. But once they tied the game, they went to the more high leverage relievers. So those were the moves the Padres made. But let's get, I thought yesterday's game, a lot of interesting moments. You already alluded to a couple of them. Get to our Padres wrap up the highlights. So with Jesse Agler coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres' win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort. The player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow. And I want to go deep.
And Perez launches it to left center field. Wade is back to watch this one gonna go. Salvador Perez with his ninth of the year and a two-run shot here in the sixth inning will give the Royals the first two runs of this day. And a line drive into right field. Caglione coming on. Not going to get there. Merrill has scored. Sheets is on his way. Here's the throw. Not in time. Pinch hit. Two-run single to tie it up for Jose Iglesias. And Iglesias swings. Hits it up the middle. To his left. Witt has it. Jump throw home. Not in time. Arise scores and the ball game is over. How about Jose?
Keep doing things the right way, consistently. You're going to give yourself the best chance every night to shake hands. That's how this team's built, and that's how we operate. And with Jackson specific, or Bogey specifically, you know, if he's going to continue to take good at bats and he's going to look like he looks, you just know you're going to stay with him, and it's going to break out. And so good for him, good for us. He looks great, playing great baseball for us every phase.
Man, really, really well done by Xander Bogaerts, you guys. The play he made up the middle is as impressive as what he's done with the
bat.
That
is called feeling yourself.
I mean, just a much needed play, a necessary play, brilliant play, perfect throw, all of it. That throw on a line, by the way, not on a hop, on a line, Manny Machado-esque, like right to the chest.
I thought that Freddie Fermin was running, but still. What a great play. And what a great at-bat in the ninth inning.
Yes.
You know, the kind of at-bats that we hadn't seen enough of from Xander Bogaerts. I didn't know that we were going to start with Xander, but certainly he deserves his credit for the last week that has been. I mean, if Xander plays like this, he is absolutely a productive player.
If he plays like this the whole year, he wins an MVP. Yeah. Come on. I mean, nobody was that hot. Nobody in baseball.
It's something that Mike Schilt kept saying, and I don't totally believe it. He kept saying, hey, the numbers behind the numbers are better than you think.
I saw that too.
He said it a lot, and that Xander's now all of a sudden just reaping the benefits of it. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. I didn't get the sense that Xander was that close to a breakout. But, again, I mean, credit again where credit is due. He's going up there. He's laying off pitches out of the zone.
The takes have been as good as the swings,
His swings are level and forceful. He's hitting line drives all over the park. He's hitting for some slug now. Not only the home run, but getting some doubles as well. You know, yes, he's had some luck also. A couple of the balls he's put in, grounders that have found holes that didn't find holes earlier in the season. So I get there is some, you know, some good fortune that offset some of the bad fortune that he's had earlier in the season. But Xander Bogaerts looks like a productive player at this point, which is, honestly, we had a discussion last week and all of us had thrown up our arms at some point going, is it ever going to happen again?
Was that after the first Dodger game?
I think
game?
It was Wednesday. Yeah,
was it Wednesday?
That we were having the discussion, like our hands are in the air going, is he ever going to even be close to what we were hoping he was going to be? I mean, we all knew he was never going to be the 5-time Silver Slugger winner again, but come on, something, right? Something's going to give. And well, it did. And Xander Bogaerts has looked really solid over the last two series.
Yeah, I mean, I had talked to, and it was a very respectful conversation that I had on Twitter with one of our tier ones, and I'm looking for it right now. I send a lot of tweets, it turns out. He was basically saying, look, here's the underlying numbers. I do feel like he's going to break out. And I said, bro, I look at his StatCast page too. I said, but I watch the games. Like, if you watch the games, you see him beating the ball into the ground. I don't see line drives getting caught. I don't see, I've seen a couple of hard hit balls to center. You know, that's it. But they didn't go anywhere. I mean, hard hit balls to center field going right at him. I was like, I don't see a breakout coming. And I said, because I watch the games, man. Like, I'm watching this every single night. And it was that game he left like seven guys on. And, you know, it was just, everybody was just over it at that point. And I felt bad because he started hitting. And then he gets overshadowed by the walk-off from Will Smith. Then he gets overshadowed by the Dave Roberts, Mike Schilt, you know, brouhaha that happened. He deserves a lot of credit for the last, you know, five, six games of baseball he's put together defensively as well. Xander Bogaerts, you keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, such a necessary piece.
Meanwhile, a really good pitcher's duel yesterday between Randy Vasquez and Seth Lugo.
God,
of course,
him.
Former Padres Seth Lugo. We talked about Seth as a guy that we would have both liked to have seen the Padres try to keep. And they were unable to re-sign him. He got a little more than they probably wanted to pay, but not that much. I mean, it was a fairly reasonable deal that he signed. I mean, the Kansas City Royals are thanking their lucky stars that Seth Lugo fell into their laps.
He's incredible.
Runner-up in the Cy Young Award in the American League last year. Got off to a little slower start this year, but now is, again, red hot. He's just a dog out there on the mound. And the Padres saw it. Gave up the leadoff single to Fernando Tatis Jr., then retired 18 straight Padres until the bottom of the seventh inning when Jackson Merrill led off with a double that eventually led to the two-run rally. But Randy Vasquez almost as good with just the one two-batter hiccup in the middle of his outing when he gave up the single and then the two-run home run by Salvador Perez in the top of the sixth inning that looked for a while like it might be the difference in the game. Made it 2-0, and that's where it stayed until the Padres rallied in the bottom of the seventh.
I felt good. As soon as they got Lugo out of there. And I thought that was probably a mistake by Matt Quartararo. Not easy to say. Quartararo.
Yeah, there's a lot of R's.
Quartararo.
Matty Q.
Matty Q pulls him, and you can see Lugo in the dugout, like, eating a towel, like Jerry Tarkanian. please don't blow this. I just pitched my absolute sack off for you guys. Don't blow this. Sure enough, man, some really good ABs from the pods. Jose Iglesias off the bench.
Royals have a decent bullpen, so.
But that's where you want, that's the one of the areas you can beat them is with their bullpen. But Urcig, like, we got to Urcig all weekend, and he owns everybody. The lefty, who was all over the place, bro, fine by me. Oh, what's his name?
Zerba.
Got to him. Estevez, Manny touched him up for a bomb. You know, he didn't win that game.
Zerpa.
But Manny touched him up for a bomb. Like, that, we got to their bullpen. So I felt confident, man. This team got a little bit more of that devil magic in them this week.
I was surprised. Mike Schilt's decision in the bottom of the seventh inning. So they rally. They get the bases loaded.
Yep.
And Jake Cronenworth is coming to the plate. Now, you've got the lefty-lefty matchup right there. The lefty who's struggling. And I thought, I know Jake is not good against lefties. We've talked about this before, but this guy's struggling right now. If you bring in the righty, Iglesias, they're going to go to their righty, Urcig, who's really, really good. And now Iglesias, who hasn't been good against righties, is facing a really tough righty. And I was kind of questioning that decision. Jake's pretty clutch. He's had some, obviously, big hits and similar type moments for the Padres in those games. And in my mind, I was thinking, I think I just leave Jake in this situation and take my chances with that matchup. But Schilt had different hunch. You know, it's one of those. It really is one of those. It's a hunch. You don't have a great matchup either way.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? And he went with Iglesias, cold off the bench against a new fresh right-hander. Got right down 0-2, and I'm going, yes. Dang, I knew this was going to happen. Credit to Jose Iglesias. Just went with where the pitch was taken.
Beautiful.
Dumped it into right field.
Beautiful.
Tied the game with a two-run single. That is pinch hitting, you know, 101. That is exactly what a pinch hitter needs to do in a situation like that. And credit to Mike Schilt for pulling the correct string in a situation where it really is kind of a flip of the coin. Which way are you going to go? Which option do you want to go with there?
Yeah. And then again, Iglesias coming up. Well, then let's talk about the Padres. trying to win that game, what, in the bottom of the eighth?
Sure.
And let's see. Jackson comes up, tie ball game now, 2-2.
Yeah,
Jackson comes up, runner on, and hits a picturesque Jackson Merrill, perfect swing on a down and in pitch, yanks it to right field, and I'm like, this SOB right off the IL comes out and hits a what will essentially be a game-winning home run. And Jack Caglione, converted first baseman, hadn't played a lot of right field, played a little bit in the minor leagues. You saw in the game on Saturday, started in right. They ended up moving him to first at the end of the game because that's where he's more comfortable. But they have a first baseman there that they like as well. So Caglione with one of the better plays you'll see. Times it up perfectly, goes over the wall, brings it back. The arm, when the arm hits the top of the pad, you're like, oh, you're going to lose the ball. He didn't. Kept it, brings it back.
Right near the snow cone edge of the mitt. I mean, it was a sensational play.
Massively, massively impressive play from that rookie.
I don't even necessarily expect Tatis to make a play like that.
No kidding.
That is a really good play. Jackson Merrill tips his cap to Jack Caglione. Got a little bit of razzing in the clubhouse from Gavin Sheets about it afterwards.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Sheets and apparently Jackson were kind of in good humor going at it. And Sheets was saying, don't tip your cap to the other team, you know, young 22-year-old guy. And Jackson's going, I have to tell a veteran like you how to play this game and the respect for another opponent. How do you feel about it? Are you okay with
me
tipping a cap to an opponent during a game?
I love it. I thought it was so cool.
I always think it's a good move.
You saw Manny do it to Ben Kasparius the other night when Kasparius threw that, I think it was like a 95-mile-an-hour slider, and Manny just looked out. Gave him the nod. Kasparius walks off the mound. I think it's cool.
Are you risking pumping up the other team's player a little bit? Like, that's just the shot of confidence that Jack Caglione needed out
no,
there.
No, I think Jack Caglione has plenty of confidence. Right. That's not one thing I worry about with him. I think it's a classy move, and I think you get rewarded for things like that.
Well, Padres, karmically did as they returned the favor with a great defensive play in the top of the ninth inning with the very fast Drew Waters on first base. Double into the gap, as you mentioned, a shallow playing outfield.
Ooh.
Looks like it's going to, when Tatis isn't going to get it, it's going to the wall. But Jackson Merrill gets that last hop to cut it off. So hard to do is make that spin and throw and hit the cutoff man with a little velocity.
I mean, it was perfect.
It was a sensational throw to the cutoff man, Jose Iglesias, who had, of course, just come into the game. And then he makes the throw to the plate. Now, the umpire did not see what appeared to be a tag on the foot as it went by, which led to the weird little dance between Diaz and Waters.
I did not see a definitive tag.
Would it have been overturned? I don't know. That's a good question. But good job by Diaz in defending home plate against...
Was it Diaz or Maldi?
It was Diaz at that point.
He had come
in as a pinch hitter, so it was Diaz at that point. Gets the out, gets them to the bottom of the ninth inning with a chance to walk it off, tied at two. And the Padres do with a rise. Nice little single, batting out of the four hole, starting the inning. Xander Bogaerts, so the one-out double that puts the runners at second and third, and then the Iglesias walk-off grounder up the middle that scores the winning run as the Padres walk it off with a 3-2 win. Robert Suarez picking up the win in relief. Glad he pitched yesterday.
Because, you had to use him.
Because apparently his appeal is going to be heard today, which means almost certainly it's not going to be reduced to zero. So Robert Suarez will be out at least, one or two games, possibly three, starting tonight. And the Padres don't get to replace him. So it was smart to use him yesterday one way or the other.
Yeah, burn him. If he's going to be sitting the next three nights, how do we get Jason Adams suspended? That's the thing we need to get Jason Adams.
You don't want a suspension because you can't bring up anybody
else. But he needs a rest.
Drill that punk C.J. Abrams.
That kid. So yeah, the Nats coming to town tonight.
Real quick, we got a minute. Your guys' thoughts on the suspensions that all came down after Friday's show?
Yeah, we missed all this chatter. Let's actually save it for next.
Do that next.
Yeah, because
segment.
there's some audio that came out after our show that had me. I was laughing hysterically at one John Heyman. Not to revisit all of this. I spent the weekend. Now, Dodger fans listening, and I know you do, I don't read a lot of the comments. So, Paulie posted the scene from the Open the other day, me talking about Dave Roberts needing some help, acting like a little league dad. Jack, our buddy, texted me. He goes, I want to kill these Dodger fans on your TikTok. And I said, oh, they're on our TikTok? I don't know. I don't go read them. Cha-ching for us, because we get paid on that. I I didn't read
them.
So I don't read them. So you guys keep them coming because I'm not reading.
I texted you. I said, hey.
Are you okay with this?
I just want to
get
your
approval. Wear it.
You're going to have to wear this one. And you did.
Yeah.
So coming up, Padres suspensions, games on Saturday and Friday. Craig Elston, and a really sad shout out to his family that we got to get to as well. All coming up with Ben and Woods, hour number two on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.